Hey, what's up, Teach Better family? We are back again. I have the wonderful Jeff Gargas with me as we just finished up with the Admin Mastermind and talking through student engagement. That is our topic this month. And we just kind of continue that conversation, Jeff, of distractions in school. And I wanted to kind of lighten the mood. I know we had kind of a fun one last week with like talking about actors and who would play us, but I thought it was an easy question last week and people kind of complained that it was more difficult
This week seemed like an easy question. I think everyone came up to it really quick with what they're like. I thought it was. I thought they reacted a lot better this week.
Right? A lot better, yes. Yeah. So it was talking about our favorite distractions growing up.
Yeah. So the question you posed was, what was your favorite distraction in school growing up? So we all remember like how we goofed around and we didn't pay attention, how we got distracted. So that came up really good. What was your favorite?
I thought, okay, so one admin, I'm not gonna shout
name names here.
I won't name names, but I thought it was really funny about a group of friends clapping for someone coming to the classroom.
Just for no reason.
For no reason.
For another student. And they even told us how like eventually the teacher would be like, well, tell us what you did. That was, why is everybody clapping for you? Which is mean because it puts the student on the spot. But like, what a fun way to throw the class off as a student.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of distractions about like passing notes and origami and
balancing pencils, flicking things, right? You know,
all the things that we can remember as kids doing. Drawing, that was one that I would do constantly over, you know, notebooks. And I don't know, Jeff, if you remember, we had to put covers on our textbooks. You know, that was a great space.
You gotta wrap them
to
in
draw.
Grocery bags. Yep. And then you had also, you had a lot of place to draw then.
Yeah. But,
you know, it was interesting. I think that's an important conversation to have with people because it allows them to. I'm going to sneeze. Okay, I'm muted, so we're safe. Anyway, an important conversation for us as adults to, and especially as educators, to reflect back on how we did these things too, and we got distracted too. And I think I felt that the conversation put us all in this like reflective moment of like, oh, I remember being bored in school. I remember being distracted in school. I remember not caring what the teacher thought. And I think it's really important to do for us to then go, okay, all right, I understand how the kids feel in my class or in my, you know, in this case, in my school or in my district. Because sometimes we forget and we're like, why don't they care? Why don't they? Well, I don't know. Go back to your life when you were there, like, which is hard to do as the older we get. But and remember, because it did, you know what I mean? Like, so it allows us, I think that opens us up. So then we had a really great conversation around how to lean into some of the distractions, right? You mentioned the drawing. We had someone that shared a story about that, how a student was fantastic drawing. It really seemed like a bad distracting issue, but this kid was always on top of things. Because I think it was you that you actually talked about, maybe you can go further, like how, maybe it's Katie, that like some students can do a lot while quote unquote distracted or seemingly distracted, and others the distraction can take them off in a moment's notice. And it's a point of we got into a lot of conversations around talking to about how we can help them to learn that about themselves, like how quickly do I get distracted, because that's a powerful skill that not all adults have.
Which is kind of like what I mean, I loved the conversation today, and I was hoping that this question, the starter question, would kind of bridge and have that understanding, because you're right. It, you know, the people that are in this meeting are administrators. They've been successful in education at some point in their life. And so regardless if you felt like you were a terrible elementary, middle school, or high school student, or you were the best, like we've all been distracted and we all remember those times. So it's good to like remember that component, but then also know that even if you were distracted for 2 minutes, you can still be successful in that classroom, right? And so, you know, the conversation was, you know, really talking about like as a teacher, you might have been really, really strict and really controlling. And now as an administrator, you're looking back and you're going, huh, maybe it wasn't so bad if a student is skipping in the hallway versus walking, or having that small side conversation versus, you know, being a huge distraction in the classroom. Like there's levels to it, and how much attention do we really need to focus on those maybe small distractions, where, you know, we might be able to implement some, you know, different strategies in the classroom to get everybody to move around or to get regulated and, mm-hmm. and then come back. So I love kind of the flow of the conversation today. Obviously starting with a fun starter question, but then moving into kind of like the social interaction piece.
Well, and it's, you were just referencing a lot of those little social interactions. That was one of the other questions that you posed to the group, was how, like, what impact those social interactions can have in the classroom. And we talked a little bit about how, like, how do we actually foster them positively instead of as a negative and a distraction. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So obviously with a lot of the stories, it was like, me and my friends did this. There wasn't weren't very many stories of, it was just me as an individual. It was like that interaction mm-hmm. with other folks. And that's why I think people have those memories that stick with them for 20, 30, 40 years, is because of that interaction, that social interaction with other people. Yeah. And so, like, how can we harness that as educators in the classroom to make it a good thing? And I thought some of those suggestions was great, as far as, you know, some people talking about reward systems, right? Like a great one was like TikTok dances. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the last like 3 or 4 years, I can think of like our kids doing it more and more, you know, before they get on the bus, before they go into the lunchroom, like they're doing the dances and whatnot. And you can either embrace that or you could really fight it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's fun to hear like how students or teachers are using that as like a reward system of like, you guys, you know, are engaged, you're doing a good job in the lesson. You know, we can spend the last couple of minutes as a class doing something that's enjoyable to everybody. And so if that's TikTok dances, if that's drawing, whatnot. So love that piece. There was also a component of like talking about community and like how to build into mm-hmm. the classroom, the sense of community with, like, you know, classroom jobs, praising students as a group, not just a teacher to a student, but like the whole group, and embracing that piece. And then also talking about like working together with like peer discussions, having peer accountability. You can talk about relationship agreements. I mean, there's a lot of different collaboration components that you can embed into the classroom to really like take the positives of social interaction instead of just, you know, trying to ignore it and then allowing it to fester into something that turns into maybe a social distraction.
Yeah. Because a lot of times those social interactions that are distractions are like the kids actually realizing that they have connections and they have similarities and they have bonds and they're able to connect with each other, when that's speaking to that, the community aspect of it and stuff. And we talked about like building those, like the regulation, like the self-regulation skills. And we talked about, posed a question around the techniques and approaches that this group of administrators and their teachers use to get to really get into that self-regulation. So, mm-hmm. There was quite a few thrown out. You want to grab maybe one of those or two of those that were shared? I'm like, there was a lot that we talked about through. Like teaching.
There was a lot.
Zone of regulation, PACs, a teach SEL skill. Like, what was what one jumped out at you as?
Well, I posed this question because it was brought up by an administrator in regards to like something that was happening in a kindergarten class, as far as a teacher mm-hmm. Really focusing on focus, which was interesting concept. And so the activity was that the students were to, you know, watch something, and they were going around with a bubble maker. And the idea was like, how much are you focused on the distraction around the classroom, or how much are you focused on the video that was being shown? And I thought that was a very interesting like social experiment, especially with kindergartners. I can't imagine what the result was.
They don't
love
anything like they love bubbles.
Oh my gosh, even adults.
That's the point.
So, you know, I just thought it was interesting, like how, you know, at such a early age, you know, you're working on those SEL components, because mm-hmm. it is something that's an important skill to master. And even a lot of adults don't even have that. So I just loved how, you know, the concept of like taking breaks. And the point was brought up too, of like, you're going to spend time with students and on distractions. Mm-hmm. And are you going to do it at the front end, or are you going to do it on the back end? You know, so are you going to give them a time to meditate? Are you going to give them a brain break or a movement opportunity mm-hmm. To get their brain stimulated? Or, you know, even have some regulation strategies on a choice board or something like that for kids to understand their emotions and then be able to do something about it. Right. So
Are we going to be proactive about it or reactive, and how we handle and address things when they come up?
Yeah. So if you're going to be reactive, I promise you it's going to be like 10 times longer.
It's going to feel so much more like a distraction and an interruption versus an opportunity.
Exactly.
And I think if you're ready for those things, you're like, oh, there's my opportunity to use this brain break idea I had, or this whatever, this meditation option or whatnot it is. And I think that circles back. Someone referenced our good friends, Hans and Jennifer Apple, who, you know, yeah. Jen Apple always says, you know, SEO isn't another thing on the plate. It is the plate. And I think that comes into, well, when you have that, your plate's set. And so when that distraction comes, you're like, oh, I just pull this out and now I'm going to do this.
Yep.
Versus, oh man, what do I do now? Like, and I think that was a really cool conversation around that.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect way to end this conversation because SEL.
So. I'm losing my focus. So we need to,
no, I'm very think that was a great, right now. Great point. And, you know, embracing just the idea that distractions are going to happen. So what are we going to do with it? Right. So if you think like I should have zero distractions, everyone's going to be engaged the entire time. I think that's going to be a much more difficult lesson school year with that mindset. So, all right, Jeff, I just want to let everyone know again, if you're joining us on YouTube and you haven't been a part of the mastermind, you know, every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, and you can go to this link, teachbetter.com/mastermind. You can sign up. It's free to collaborate with so many amazing administrators all over this country. Actually, I should say world, because it's not just the United States. There's other people in Canada too that are joining us. And so you can go to teachbetter.com/mastermind, sign up. I can't wait for next Tuesday because we're going to finish up this month with student engagement. Nice. So I want
to note too, Josh, when you sign up there, you'll get the reminders and a link to join us every Tuesday, but you also will get these recaps that we do. So if you can't make a meeting, that's okay. You can drop in, attend once a month, once every couple months, hopefully every week. That's fine. But like, you'll get these recaps too, so you can still stay connected to the conversation and be involved in it and stuff. So teachbetter.com/mastermind.
Awesome. All right, buddy. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait for next week.